Sairam, dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang by Brother Prem and Arvind, and it's now time for us to go to the next segment, that is the Veda Jignasa program. And to take you across this segment is Ganesh from Team Radio Sai, and along with me is Brother Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So at the outset, Bhargav, we shall all collectively offer our humble prayers and salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and every thought, word and deed must be his inspiration. We shall commence this episode with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvan Notivhissidasadanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajevir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So Bhargav, so we shall all collectively wish our dear listeners a happy and holy Navaratri festival.
Yes, from the Radio Sai team and both of us, we wish all our listeners a very, very happy Navaratri.
So, continuing the journey of the blossoming of the intellect, Bhargav, today as we are worshipping the mother in all her splendor, in all her glory, we shall continue the elaboration of Medha Suktam.
Yes.
Of Mother Saraswati.
So where are we? I think now we have reached a place where going to have things which are very beautiful, very special.
And very interesting.
Interesting.
Yes.
Chitram and Vichitram. So.
So we shall start with the chanting of the next line.
Line, yeah.
Tvaya justas chitram vindate vasusano jushasvatra vino na medhe medham ma indro dadhatu medham devi saraswati medham me ashvina ubhava dhattam pushkarasraja.
So maybe at the outset we shall look into the meaning of what exactly is being described. Tvaya jushtas chitram vindate vasusano jushasvadravinona medhe. Tvaya, your jushtaha is being pleased. Chitram, the picture, meaning the infinite variety in creation.
Yeah.
Vindate is to know or to get to know. Vasu is wealth. Sa, she, naha, us. Jushasva, upon being pleased. Dravine, by wealth. So, dravine, actually, dravinaha, this is one of the, see?
Yeah.
So, naha is us, medhe is Medha Devi.
Oh, Medha Devi.
So, by your grace, one gets to know the vast diversity in creation, getting different kinds of wealth in the process, O Medhe.
Yeah. So, I think three words are keys, Ganesh, which this line talks about. One is chitram. Second is Vasu, and third is Dravinam. So, as we told, Chitram is a picture. So, let us start with a picture only. If you just get in to understand what this means, what we were able to gather, a small story, because this is a very special, which I think it has been told once before also in Radio Sai. One father takes his son to a movie, and then he'll be seeing the movie, and then the movie will be running on the screen, and there'll be like someone is trying to attack someone else or something. So the boy gets a little agitated, little afraid. Then the father says, no, don't worry, this is just a movie. Don't bother about it. The son doesn't understand. Everything is happening so real. How can he say that it's just a movie? It's just a movie, it's just unreal. So what happens? The intervention comes, and there is a break. So then the son sees, yeah, correct, what my father told is correct. I can see the white screen. Everything is just playing on the screen. It's just a play of light on the screen, nothing else. It's just a superimposition of a few things on the screen. And then when after intermission, when the movie starts again, now the son is able to enjoy it even more because he knows that the reality is that there is a screen behind and everything is just a play on it. So like our life also is so similar. Like if we understand that there is a screen behind and the substratum, and then with that understanding when we do our activities, we don't get entangled, we don't get agitated. But if you think that the thing which is running on the screen is real, whatever happening in the characters, the different vicissitudes of the characters, you feel them as real, you get entangled in those emotions and you also feel bad for them and all that. So, when you say this, Tvaya Justas Chitram Vindate, you understand the meaning and the variety of creation. So beautiful. So first is probably to the first stage is where you get carried away, you get overwhelmed by what is happening in this world, understanding that this is the real one. And then Swami comes and says, no, Yat Pashyati Tad Nashyati. Whatever you say is all destructive, it's all temporary. So then he takes you to the next level and says, takes you to this level where you understand that there is a screen, like the father is explaining the son. So Swami is so lovingly is trying to take us step by step towards that path. And then Ganesh, you remember you were telling me that the Swami's beautiful poem which he always sings,
yes,
about this.
It is Chitrambulu, Trailokya Pavitrambulu, Bhavalatala Vitrambulu, San Mitrambulu, Vishnu Devunu Charitrambulu. I think instead of me telling it, it would be beautiful to hear to Swami reciting this wonderful poem.
Definitely.
So we shall listen to Swami.
Yes.
Chitrambulu Trailokya Vichatrambulu, Chitrambulu Trailokya Vichitrambulu, Bhavalatala Vitrambulu, Sanmitrambulu, Buddha Jana Muni Pautrambulu, Muni Jana Vana Chaitrambulu, Vishnu Devu Charitrambulu, Chitrambulu. Chitrambulu Trailokya Vichitrambulu, Buddha Jana Vana Pautrambulu, Buddha Jana Vana Chaitrambulu, Vishnu Devu Charitrambulu, Vishnu Devu Charitrambulu, Vishnu Devu Charitrambulu.
Yeah, so I think now there's a small hint in this. The hint is that if rather than getting entangled and getting overwhelmed by getting carried away by the tinsel and the picture which is there in this world, if you get attached to the picture or the chitram of the Lord, then that gives you a totally different flavor. The flavor will be such that you get peace of mind, you get bliss, you get joy, you get that raptures when you get attached to the Lord. So any such experience, if you remember?
Actually, when you are telling these few lines, always man runs after the creation rather than the creator.
Creator.
So a beautiful example that instantly struck me was an incident in the Trai Brindavan, or I am not sure of the location, but when the group of students were there around Swami, Swami had so lovingly created a beautiful swan. A swan which was embedded with diamonds. So obviously the boys around Swami were like totally in awe of what Swami had created. And Swami so lovingly passed it on to all the boys. And one after the other, they were having a look at the swan keeping it in their own hands.
Mm.
So as they were watching the swan so keenly,
mm.
Swami was gazing at the boys, and then he obviously he had his own thoughts.
Mm.
Then Swami wanted to test all the boys, I think, that at that time. Then Swami was very, very casually, he told the boys, "See boys, all of you are immersed in seeing the creation of God,
mm.
and you have not even bothered to look at the Creator." And then that was the moment then the boys understood that, yes, what they were after is not true,
yes.
and not permanent.
Yes,
but
beautiful.
Only the Lord, who is the creator of the whole thing,
yeah.
is permanent.
Yes, so beautiful.
So as the father had told,
yeah.
don't see the picture, but see the screen there.
So beautiful. And then again, in the same Swami, like he is, you know, he is a loving father. And sometimes when in their innocence, in their childishness, when the students do something, some transgression, due to their love for Swami, he'll come to the rescue also. I remember this one incident what happened, that this again in Trai only, because it's Trai. And you know, after the evening bhajans, Swami will just indicate so that there's a Trai session. And I remember we used to rush, and you won't find who's next to you. What our only objective is, just go and sit 1.1 in front of Swami in the jhula room. So there, once what had happened, that unknowingly some of the boys had knocked down a very senior devotee, an elder, and that person was very upset. The elder devotee was very upset, and he had complained to Swami. But we thought gone, all of us are gone. But you know what, Swami came to our rescue. His statement, he told that, what is wrong? Are they running behind a film actor? Are they running behind something else? They're running behind God. So that's not a problem. So there Swami had actually given indication that not the creator, the creation. And when you actually run for the creator, he comes to your rescue if there is anything which happens on the way. If there is any transgressions happen by us unknowingly, he comes to your rescue. So any interesting Chitram which Swami has done, you know, I'm sure Swami has done so many things. Anything which
yes,
comes
but,
to your mind?
Before going to the incident, I am reminded of one more beautiful story that Swami narrates. The Chinnakada of the small girl,
mm-hmm.
where the king of the particular place
mm-hmm.
announces a... So there was a beautiful exhibition that was put up, and the king offers the people of the kingdom to choose whatever they want. So then each one chooses one beautiful object, beautiful things.
To take home.
To take home.
Yeah.
To carry along with them and go.
Mm.
And then here comes a small little girl. She asks, then she is the only one who is left without choosing any of those items.
Mm.
And then the king very curiously asks this girl, why did you not choose anything when I offered you? Then the girl tells, I choose you
mm.
over all these objects.
Mm.
Because once you are there, all these objects are mine.
Yes.
So mm. that is the intent with which each and every one of us should... and that is what vindate, when one gets to
yes.
know,
yeah.
that is what happens.
Happens.
You know whom to choose.
So, but you know, there should be a transition between
mm.
choosing the creation mm. and getting lost in the creation.
Exactly.
The push should be there to turn you towards the Creator.
Mm.
So there are some things which God does, which Swami does. You know, He does the miracles, He does the leelas.
Mm.
So your mind gets so captured by the leelas that you just forget the world and you just get absorbed in Him.
Mm.
Something like that.
Exactly. This was, I think, one of the trips of Swami to East Godavari.
Mm.
Swami had been there in Kakinada, which was around 35 kilometers or odd from... There was a very tiny hamlet called Kotapadu.
Okay.
It's a very remote village.
Mm.
And all the villagers were praying very intensely that Swami should visit their village.
Mm.
But Swami was got held up with a very huge gathering and a meeting. And it was too late in Kakinada to go back to Kotapadu. Then the head of the village was praying to Swami, "Swami, please come. All arrangements have been done and people are waiting for you there." And then Swami tells yes, and then he goes along with them in the car. And to the utter astonishment of everyone, there is a huge crowd in the late night.
Unexpected crowd.
Mm. And then there is a dvajastambam, a pillar, right in the center of that village.
Mm.
And a pedestal which is the foundation of that a pillar. And then Swami goes to that center of the village, climbs onto that platform.
Mm.
And then, so that everybody can see him. And then Swami waves at everyone.
Mm.
So this is just like an instant darshan for everyone.
So sweet.
Like an instant coffee.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. It energized the entire village.
Mm.
And then Swami, it's too late for Swami to stay there for a long time.
Yeah.
And then Swami tries to come down the platform.
Mm.
And then he starts rushing. When all the villagers just crowd around him.
No, just pounce on him.
Just pounce on him. Obviously, when God is there,
yeah,
who doesn't want to catch hold of him?
Yeah.
And then to the utter amazement of all the villagers, the instant they jump, they try to jump to catch Swami.
Mm.
Swami at the next moment was there near his car.
He vanished there and
he just vanished. And he appeared near the car and he waved at all the villagers and just left.
So this would have just left such a rapture. This would have just left such a sweet memory in all the devotees there.
And there is a beauty in that village. If you go even now, every house in that tiny hamlet has Swami's quotations on their walls written in a huge letterings actually.
Mm.
And then every street of that village has been named after Kamavadhani Garu, Kasturi Garu,
okay,
Ishwaramma Garu,
mm,
all the eminent personalities and
the devotees
of Swami, all those streets have been named on those names.
So nice. So nice.
Such a, just one visit of Swami transformed the entire village.
So this is a push which,
yes,
takes you away from the creation to the creator.
Exactly.
So I think this word Chitram is actually nothing but the journey from the creator to the creation.
Exactly.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Anything else you remember about this?
Actually, there is one more incident. This had been narrated by one person named Sai Ram Yachendra.
Mm.
He was from the Venkatagiri family.
Mm.
And then when he was sharing, on one particular occasion, he had this intense desire to have the Padanamaskar of Swami. Imagine Venkatagiri family members, they are craving for a Padanamaskar of Swami. When they had such close proximity of Swami, they could go into the interview room, they could attend to Swami at any time. So this was the freedom that they had with Swami. And this senior devotee, wanted to just have Swami's Padanamaskar. Imagine the intensity that built up in his heart. And then he came to Prashantrilayam from Venkatagiri. He was sitting in the darshan line. As Swami was passing by, he just touched Swami's feet. And the look in Swami's eyes, which was there at that time, and he looked straight into Sai Ram sir's eyes. And then something very special happened. It was just one darshan and one Padanamaskar. Swami left and he started leaving to
His native Venkatagiri.
Along the way,
mm,
whatever he saw was Swami for him.
Everything was Swami.
Like the trees were Swami, the sky was Swami, the vehicles that were going past by was Swami. Till he reached Venkatagiri, this experience had continued. Imagine, as soon as he reached his place, when that thirst for his darshan or that Padamaskar was over, then everything subsided and he came back to normalcy. That is the effect of one beautiful wish of that devotee of having Padamaskar of the Lord.
So one glimpse of that infinity or the variety in creation which we just talking about, if you get a glimpse of it, you will be like totally out of this world.
Exactly.
You won't have anything to do with this world, but still you will be in this world. So any such experience where Swami has told how to actually get this, like how to practice this, to go from the movie running on the screen to actually identifying and seeing the screen. Any such experience?
Actually, when we observe, Vindate, when you get to know, what happens is you need to be in both the things.
Yes.
So you need to be in the world and simultaneously experience the divinity which is there in the world.
Yes.
So visualization of the unity in the visible diversity,
yes,
has to be taken as a truth.
Yes, correct.
So to prove this, there is a beautiful experience of a devotee from Pune who in his 20s came to Swami with a beautiful wish that he wanted to serve Swami staying in Prashantinilayam,
okay,
leaving all his family and then career, everything. He just wanted to do some sort of seva staying back in Prashantinilayam. So he kept on continuously asking Swami for seva opportunity. And Swami kept telling him, I will give you a very good service opportunity. And he, Swami kept postponing. Rather, Swami kept waiting for him for the right time to come.
Yes.
And then beautiful evening, Swami grants him an interview. Because after so much of pestering Swami, this devotee did not leave or go back to Pune.
So Swami relents.
Relentlessly he was asking Swami. And then he came to the interview room. A very strange thing happened in that interview. Swami, he told him, in that interview when Swami was conversing with him, Swami put his hand on his head. And then the visualization started for this devotee. Swami asked him, where is Swami not there? And then Swami kept his hand on his head and told, Swami is there in your head. And then Swami touched his eyes. Then Swami told, Swami is there in your eyes. And then Swami touched his ears. Swami is there in your ears.
So beautiful.
And Swami touched his lips. Swami is there in your lips. And Swami touched his shoulders. Swami is there in your shoulders. Very, very surprisingly, Swami touched his feet. And then Swami told, Swami is there in your feet.
So God touching the feet of a devotee.
Yes.
Telling.
And then this devotee was like taken aback. Then Swami told him one beautiful sentence. You should always contemplate, you should always meditate upon the fact that God is everywhere, that Swami is everywhere.
So beautiful.
So this was the lesson that Swami gave this devotee in that interview.
Yeah.
So this devotee, he came out, a couple of days went by. On one of the occasions, Swami went for a drive during the darshan time. And this person was sitting in his place and thought, Swami is physically not here. Why don't I try whatever Swami had told? And then he sat, closed his eyes, and then started meditating upon the fact that Swami's form is everywhere. Swami's every inch of this space is filled with Swami. As this was going on, Swami comes back. He stands right in front of him.
Sweetly.
And when he opens his eyes, Swami asks him, what are you doing? Then he so nicely tells, Swami, I am meditating upon the fact that God is everywhere. Then Swami points to himself and he tells, Swami is everywhere. That is what you are meditating upon. And he tells, yes, Swami. Very good. Then Swami tells him one more beautiful sentence. You should close your eyes and meditate upon the fact that God is everywhere. And then open your eyes and experience the fact that God is everywhere.
So beautiful. So nice.
So, that chitram, whatever you are seeing, as in the Durga Suktam, as we mentioned, the reflection of the inner being, as Durga Devi is present as that force within, the same thing is present as fire outside. So, whatever, see, you can see, you are able to see whatever you are seeing, because it's already there inside you.
So anyway, when you told this, I think I'm tempted to share one more experience.
Surely.
There's one book which we always read, a book called Autobiography of a Yogi, Paramahansa Yogananda. It's a very sweet experience of his, exactly the way you're telling. So once, you know, his guru was Yukteswar Giri. He was one day sitting and trying to meditate. Nothing was happening. His mind was going here and there, haywire. He was like fully agitated, very upset with himself. So his guru comes and lovingly touches him. Once his guru touches him, there's an explosion inside which happens, and then his consciousness tries to spread. He is sitting in a room, and then now he realizes that he is able to touch the gate which is just outside, and there's a cow which is outside the gate. He's able to touch the cow, and then he is enveloping all the people who are around. He's able to read their thoughts. He's able to know what is happening. Every emotion he's able to experience. And then slowly he just spreads across and touches the farthest point of the universe. Like, as if he is everything. There is nothing which is not in him. He has enveloped the whole universe, that experience. And then slowly he comes back. And Guru says, okay, now come back. Slowly comes back and comes back to this small self which is there already in front, like the one in the body. This is so beautiful. Guru Swami is so special, so beautiful, his experiences. He told, yes, this experience is very beautiful. Now do one thing, pick up the broom and clean this room. So he was saying, he was like lost. This moment, the previous moment, I was like the one who was the whole universe, there's nothing else to do, and this whole creation is mine. The next moment, a guru comes and tells you, sweep the floor. Such a mundane thing to do. He was very upset. Guru says, no, that experience which you had should reflect, should be saturated in every small act of yours. Whatever act you do should be saturated by that experience. So, should not say that taking a broom and cleaning the floor is not for you. So every act, as you told, experience him inside and manifest him in everything which you do outside. Such a nice thing. So I think Chitram has been a very special journey for the last half an hour for both
exactly.
of us.
Exactly.
So if you go to the next one, Vasu. Yeah, Vasu actually is wealth. But if you just go a little more deeper, you know, we have something called as Astavasus. The Astavasus are nothing but all the five elements, and then the sun, moon, and the nakshatras, the stars. So they are called Dyau, Prithvi, Vayu, Agni, Aditya, Soma, Varuna, and Nakshatra. And so if you say that I, by your grace, by your blessings, by your, if you confer your anugraham on me, I will be able to understand, get this wealth, which is Vasu, means in the same, probably the same thing, Chitram, which we just discussed. So you will be able to understand what is the secret in all this creation. Means we are just talking about the five elements, the sun, moon, and the nakshatra, the stars. I think nothing else is left in this whole universe. So when you are able to understand this whole thing, so it is not the wealth which is probably the money or the accomplishments or whatever we have, our like sampatti, whatever you call this. This is not the wealth. This wealth is much beyond. That's why when Vedam talks about wealth, it is not the wealth which we think, the tangible wealth which we think we need for survival in the world. It is not that. It is much beyond that. And then one of the Vasus anyway is, I think you know Bhishma is one of the Vasus, which was one of the Astavasus was Bhishma. So he had all this wealth, not in terms of money or a physical wealth. You know, they say the wealth which has got so many different types of vidyas, so many different types of knowledge, that's also a wealth. So if in this prayer, you are actually asking Mother, and if we really sincerely ask from the bottom of our heart, we can get this type of wealth from her. And the third is Dravinam. Dravinam is again wealth which is something which is useful for us in the day-to-day world. Yeah. This is Swami says this is also very important. It's not that you just leave everything and go to the forest and meditate there. You need to be in the world, do the activities of the world, and then, like we had discussed once before, Dharma Artha. So you earn the wealth in a dharmic means and then use it. So she will give you this also. It's not that you are just going to get everything about the other worldly things. No, you are going to get everything which is needed for your survival in this world also. So that's what is the meaning of this. So profound and so deep. No? This.
Exactly. Actually, when you are talking about the wealth, it's actually the knowledge that you realize the unity and diversity of the creation,
yes,
itself is the greatest wealth.
Yes, correct.
So maybe once you have that faith in God, that He will take care,
yes,
every other wealth will follow you.
Yeah, everything will be added unto you, correct.
Exactly. So then, so Bhargav, when we are talking about wealth, once you know that God can do anything to you, if you develop that particular faith that Swami will take care of everything, I think every other wealth will follow.
Correct.
The faith of the faith is the actual wealth that we have to possess.
And you know, Ganesh, if you get that faith, your faith is intact, and you actually test the faith, test yourself, test your faith, and you pass with flying colors, or you just pass also. It's so exhilarating to even imagine that when your faith got tested and it got passed, and whatever you wished for just came to you. So special. Any such incident?
Actually, there's one beautiful experience of Brother Sanjay Mahalingam, where Swami beautifully tells him that money is the last thing that you have to concentrate on or think of.
Okay.
When the Lord is there with you, everything will follow. So I think it's beautiful to listen to Sanjay Mahalingam directly.
Yeah.
So we shall have the audio of Brother Sanjay Mahalingam.
I think it was 2010. I'm not really sure about the dates, but I think it was 2010. It was about 2 years since I finished my PhD. I was waiting for Swami's further instructions. Only one who waits for Swami's instructions can know the joy of it. For others, onlookers, it looks as, to some, to the uninitiated, if I may say so, it looks like a waste of life, a waste of time. And a lot of people who tell you, what are you doing? I mean, you're educated, you're just wasting your time, time is passing you by, you're getting old, you're not married, you don't have a job. But only to the student who waits for Swami's instruction. And this is unanimous. You can ask any student who has waited for a year, 2 years, 3 years, some have waited for over a decade. That waiting remains the most cherished and the beautiful time of their life. For years and decades after that, they remember that time when they waited for Swami's instruction. So I was in that phase. I was waiting for Swami's instructions after my PhD. And, you know, amongst the various joys of that time, there are a few challenges also. And one of the challenges is the financial challenge, because you feel shy to ask money from your parents because your parents are telling you to take a job, but you're not. So you feel a little shy and you would like it. It feels a little more honorable to live by your own means. So one such day, usually I had about 6,000 rupees to run my month. And in Parthi, you can do it. You can live quite well if you can put a reasonable ceiling on your desires. You can live pretty well in Parthi with 6,000 rupees. So my monthly budget was 6,000 rupees. Somehow something happened and I had a massive expenditure. Well, 4,000. 4,000 was massive for us at the time. So 4,000 rupees expenditure in the first 2 days of the month. And still the whole month was left and I was left with only 2,000 rupees. And I was wondering what to do. How am I going to cut my month? How am I going to spend my month? So I was very anxious. And you know, sometimes hidden emotions, which are generally not on the surface, when challenges arrive in life, emotions that you yourself are not aware of, they may sometimes surface. So suddenly I was very angry. Angry, pained, desolate. And I was really telling Swami, what is this, Swami? How am I going to live? What is this? I was very anxious. So, you know, when you're anxious, what can you do? You just offer your anxiety to Swami and try to calm your mind. So, it was evening, my prayer time. So, I had a wash, sat and tried to still my mind and just sit quietly at the feet of Swami. By His grace, surely, I was able to really quiet my mind. And I was just sitting silently. Just sitting. The depths of my consciousness, Swami revealed to me, see, a problem is a problem if you think it is a problem. One really needs to meditate on this statement of Swami's revelation. A problem is a problem only if you think it's a problem. And only thought is a problem. So if you remove problem from your consciousness and you just sit quietly, there is no problem. In fact, in the very seed of the problem lies the solution. Every problem comes with a solution. And every solution in fact comes with a problem. And this is the play of drama, the play of Maya. So the whole idea of life is to go beyond. Who doesn't have problems? So Swami has said this in many discourses. The only way out is the way in. You just go beyond. So you just say there is no problem and you just be happy. In fact, allow me to digress. Many years back, I was in the interview room. It was 2004 or 5. Swami had just started talking to me. And you know, when Swami just starts talking to you, you can take liberties with Swami that you can't imagine a few years down the line. So I used to be very free with Swami. I could tell him anything. I could even scold him. I had some problem. Again, I don't remember what. But it was something enough to make me very sad. And I was really sad. And I was venting my sorrow to Swami. And I was actually crying. You know, sobbing. Like, I was sobbing. And Swami looked at me. And he started imitating me. And he also, like that, so much problem for you. And he started imitating me. And making fun of me. Mocking at my misery. You know, when we are miserable, our misery is the most real thing to us. In fact, it becomes our prized treasure. We don't want to let go of the misery because that is where our identity is stuck, you know, and it is very important. So we are miserable, and how can somebody laugh at us? And Swami laughed at me, mocked at me, and I was very angry. And then Swami, I'm having such a problem. What kind of a mother you are? How can you laugh? Will my real mother laugh? And those kind of essential dialogues I threw at Swami. And then Swami said, remember, what I ignore, you also ignore. That is the way to move ahead. That's all. When I came out of the interview room, immediately I was still in a very disturbed state. So, but over a few days when I thought of what Swami said, it was such a great mantra. What Swami ignores, you too ignore. So coming back, so I was left with 2000 rupees and I was now calm, and Swami told me in my meditation that what's a problem is a problem. If you think it is a problem, therefore be free. Delete it from your consciousness and just be free. And I got up from a meditation. I was in such a state of exuberant joy. I really felt so free that, you know, these are moments that we remember for life. You really cannot put, you can't really describe those moments when you feel the freedom of your soul. The freedom that truly transcends birth and death. You just feel like you are nothing but the expansive sky. So I felt like that. I was so free. And suddenly, from that consciousness, when you look at a problem, you laugh at it. And suddenly when I thought about this 2000 rupees problem, and my whole being laughed at it, because it suddenly looked so, so utterly insignificant. So what I did, I said, fine, let me just play. I have a game. So that day morning, I had went to the ATM. You know, those days, we were not too much into e-banking and all that. For everything, we went to check our account balance, you had to go to an ATM. So I had gone to an ATM, I checked my account balance, and that small slip of paper had come, in which there was an available balance, 2,044 rupees or something like that. So I said, fine, let me just add 10. I took a pen, I took that slip out of my wallet and added 10. It said, available balance, 20,000 rupees. So I said, now I'm going to just live as if I have 20,000 rupees. Because that is the thing, you know, whole life is determined not by the events outside yourself, but your inner state. What looked an insurmountable disaster half an hour back looked like a joke half an hour later. What changed? Nothing changed. My state changed. That is the whole secret of life. So our life's experience is determined not by the events outside, but the state inside. So I just put one extra zero on my ATM slip. I threw the ATM slip away and I said, I'm going to live like a king for the next 26 days of the month. And I went to sleep. Next day morning when I got up, after my morning prayers and all, I had this irresistible urge suddenly to clean my entire wardrobe. So I just started cleaning. Cleaning means take out everything, fold it properly, reorganize, clean, dust, and then, you know, completely reorganize everything. So in this process, I found a small envelope tucked right under all my clothes in one obscure corner of my wardrobe. So a brief background is in place. What happens that Swami, in his motherly affection, he showers his love on his students in many ways, in many forms, in many various manifestations. Care, concern, love. And sometimes to help them make ends meet, he also sometimes gives us some money. On one such occasion, Swami had given me some money and said, use it carefully. This is for your sustenance. Keep it well. And then I remember Swami had told me, keep it right at the bottom of your cupboard. And then Swami went on to explain why. Because this entire incident has so many learnings. And Swami said, you see, money should never become heavy in your consciousness. Swami said, nothing wrong in having money. Swami said, I bless you to have a lot of money, be happy. But money should not become heavy in your consciousness. It should just be there, you know. So Swami said, symbolically, to strengthen that idea into yourself, you keep the money right under the bottom of your cupboard. So as to symbolize to yourself that money is there, but not that important at all. In fact, it is the least important of all. In fact, in this context, I remember Swami had once told me that Kali Yuga is driven by four forces. What we call Kali Yuga is nothing but the domination of four inner forces. Greed for money, lust, desire for power, and desire for fame. These three forces drive what we loosely call Kali Yuga. So desire for money was a very important force which is in the universal consciousness in Kali Yuga. So Swami said, keep it right under your cupboard. So this envelope was that envelope. I did not even remember actually, and even today I don't remember when Swami gave that money. Must have been really a long bag because the envelope was actually quite yellow. I took that envelope. It's a bundle of cash inside. And I started counting. And lo and behold, there was exactly 18,000 rupees in that envelope. And now, my available balance in my account was actually exactly 20,000 rupees. What I had just added one zero, I wish I had a couple of more zeros, but I just added one. You see, that's another thing. Only we limit our manifestation. We think there is somebody up there deciding. We limit everything. I just added one zero and one zero is what I got. Because that is all I believed. The space in my consciousness was only there for 20,000. If I had said 20 crores, we don't believe that the universe is ingenious enough to make that happen. But the truth is, it is. And the limitation is only inside ourselves. Anyway, again I digress. So now my available balance was 20,000 rupees. So that day I realized that the key to a happy life is not a life free of problems, because that probably doesn't exist. The key to a happy life is a carefree, positive attitude, and you just to live with strength, gratitude and positivity. And the most important element of our life is our inner state. That is so sacrosanct that we must manage it with great care, awareness and alertness. And we should not be casual. We may be casual about other things, but when it comes to managing our inner space, we should take full responsibility and manage it with great care.
So I think after knowing the meaning of Taya Jushtas Chitram Vindate, Vasusano Jushasvadravinona Methe, what Sanjay Mahalingam brother experienced was itself a Chitram.
Yes, so special, correct.
So the Chitram is nothing but the visualization of your mind.
Correct.
So, I think Medha Devi has given him that shakti to visualize the right thing.
Correct.
So, I think with these few words, as we are running out of time, so we shall continue the next portion in the coming episode next week. I think with these few words, we shall bring this episode to a close. And again, with a humble prayer that every thought, word and deed should be his inspiration, we shall conclude this episode with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram, and we please request the listeners to do write your feedback and your ideas to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258.
Om Yadakshara Parabhrashtam Matra Heenam Tu Yad Bhaved Tatsarvam Kshamyatam Deva Narayana Namostute Visarga Bindu Matrani Padapadaksharani Cha Nyunani Cha Tiriktani Kshamasvasaishvara Aparada Sahasrani Kriyante Harnishanmaya Daso Yamiti Mamatva Kshamasvasaishvara Anyatha Sharanam Nasti Tumeva Sharanam Mama Tasmat Karunya Bhavena Rakshasaishvara Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Saishvara Arpanamastu.
From a few moments from now, you'll be listening to the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. Sai Ram, happy listening. Stay tuned to Asia Stream.